basketball Jones. I got a basketball Jones. Got a basketball Jones. Oh, baby. Ooh.
The league pass lair is in the house.
This is a personal beef of mine, right?
All right.
But this idea of blow it up. That doesn't work.
Brendan Whitted.
But he shot 41% in the regular season on threes, and he shot like 50% all the pick and roll in the regular season.
Brian Geisinger.
Check out his synergy numbers.
Yeah. On that note, yeah, we should just stop right there.
His synergy numbers.
Check his synergy numbers.
Check the synergy.
That's the league pass lair.
The league pass lair.
My basketball was like a basketball to me.
No, the fan.
Oh,
Adam and Joe. And it is League Pass Lair time before we bring them in. Aggie Eagle Classic right here in Durham. Saturday, 2 o'clock, final home game of the season for the Eagles. For tickets, nccueaglepride.com. Joining us, of course, the League Pass Lair, the analytical one, Brian Geisinger on Twitter at bgeis_bird, and the analytical one, Brendan Whitted at WBHU. Alum on Twitter. I'm going to start with you, Brendan. Jimmy Butler traded from the Timberwolves to the Philadelphia 76ers. Did the Philadelphia 76ers get better?
Man, their starting five is certainly better. It's weird because they needed shooting even before the trade, and they ended up trading away two shooters to get a guy that can or Jimmy Butler.
Right.
So while he is a better player than either Robert Covington, a 3-and-D guy, or Saric, who has done a really, really good job of just being able to score and just being kind of able to fill in and score around a lot of guys, there's still a problem with spacing on that team.
Yes.
And so part of this has come with playing Fultz more minutes, right? Because now you're playing not only two guys that don't shoot well in Fultz and Ben Simmons, but two guys that are anti-shooters. Like guys who will actively run away from shots.
Yeah.
And for a team that likes to post up as much as they do with Embiid, that's going to be an issue and has been an issue, in addition to the fact that they're turning the ball over, the 30th in the league in turnovers. Like they are just giving the ball away. So there are some real issues there, but if it's a yes or no question, I'm going to go with yes. I think they're in a better position to go further this season than they were pre-trade.
Do you concur with that, Brian?
Yeah, I do. I think they got
the league pass layer on the same page, unlike the Warriors.
I think there's a
oh, just wait.
Right. I think there's a fair amount of groupthink in the league pass layer, except for when we debate Rajon Rondo's defensive
there
prowess.
You go.
And then the daggers are just flying both ways. No, I think this gives them – I think this raises their ceiling a little bit more. It gives them a top 10 to 15 player in the NBA. Maybe it's not exactly what they needed.
Right.
But which they need a lot of shooting. They need it even more now. You can see when Redick sits, the offense is so stagnant and just becomes Simmons and Embiid trying to blow through everybody to get to the rim. And look, Covington's a good defender. Sarge's a bad defender. Jimmy Butler's an amazing defender.
Right.
This Philadelphia team is 15th in the NBA in defensive efficiency. They should be in the top five. And Jimmy Butler will help with that. He gives them a guy that can close games. And they also picked up a trade exception in this deal, which I would imagine something they might try to use to go out and get some shooting. They need to be involved in the trade and buyout market because they badly, badly, badly need shooters. And they just need, like, rotation pieces because they gave up two starters and got one. I'm a big Robert Covington fan.
Do you like this trade for Minnesota?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, for the most part. And I should just say, too, like, I don't think Philadelphia thought they were – even though they could have cap space for it, they were going to be able to go out and sign a like blue chip guy in free agency in 2019, and this was their way of doing it. The trade for Jimmy, and basically have like a wink wink handshake. Hey, we'll take if things go okay after the year, we'll take care of you and we'll max you out essentially, which they could offer him $190 million over 5 years. And
good luck with that.
Jimmy Butler at age 35 making $43 million. I don't like that, but I think I like it now.
But he's a great teammate.
Right.
We don't have to worry about it.
He's been out there killing himself for his teammates in Timberwolves in Minnesota. So now obviously the guys in Philadelphia are good to see that. But no, look, he's an awesome player. Bona fide top 10, top 15 player in the world. And the East is super interesting in those top four or five teams now.
One final thing about this, Brendan, because he left a young, impressionable team in Minnesota that had no interest in him, obviously. And he's going to a young and impressionable team in Philadelphia. So why would it be any different?
I'm going to be real with you. Like, the first thing that I thought when I heard about the trade was poor Markelle Fultz. Like, because the practices had become legendary in Minnesota, right? Where it's, you know, it's Cat and it's Wiggins, and then Butler, you know, he flies in, you know, Superman style into the practice late, takes the third stringers and beats the starters, right? And so, like, it had become an issue. But it started even before then, because he had an issue in Chicago. It was Wade and Butler versus the young guys. Like, that was a thing. And then it happened again in Minnesota. And so, like you pointed out, now he's going to another team where the core is a whole bunch of young guys. And so, like, I don't think I've ever seen a player be able to like have this kind of Teflon feel to, hey, I know I've been kind of a locker room issue in two different places, but hey, nobody's going to worry about that because it's whatever. Like, I am interested to see that. And the other part of it is who's leaving. Like, we mentioned Saric in terms of his scoring and the things that he does on the court. TJ McConnell just gave an interesting interview a little while ago, talking about, like, was the guy where you kind of just looked to him and he kind of brightened everybody's day. And now you're kind of getting the exact opposite in that in Voldemort. So, like, I am really, really interested to see exactly what this does play out, because it's an 82-game season and guys get tired of one another. Shout out to Draymond Green and KD. And so I'm interested in seeing what this looks like come playoff time.
Speaking of which, Draymond Green got suspended for tonight's game against the Hawks. The Golden State Warriors are going to, like, talk about it in a pregame press conference. All of this is related to the fact that last night things did not cool down after the game on the bench, and apparently Draymond went with the nuke option and brought up his impending free agency when Kevin Durant was like, no, seriously, dude, why didn't you pass me the ball? Are they overcompensating for Kevin Durant in this situation by suspending Draymond Green a game without pay because they're really afraid that he might go somewhere else in free agency?
Yeah, I think that thought's like already in their mind. I mean, if all of us on doing this radio show right now, if we've heard rumors of, oh, hey, Kevin's team is interested in the New York Knicks or a destination city XYZ, whatever, then yes, clearly the Warriors are aware of that.
They have a new building that they're opening up next year.
It's true.
They can't get this gravy train to stop.
I mean, did you see the picture of Kevin Durant in construction gear?
Yeah.
That was a look.
So maybe they shouldn't.
That's going to be a Fortnite skin next week.
So maybe they shouldn't be so worried about him leaving. Like, he's literally hands-on helping building the Chase Center in San Francisco. I don't think it's that. I do think what Draymond did is sort of like, it's like a little out of line to like call someone out for what they want to do with their own professional career, especially in that league, that is so pro player movement and player empowerment and not talking about someone else's checkbook or whatever. I don't think Draymond Green would like anyone saying that to him. Right. I don't think he would respond super well to that either. I actually don't think this is Golden State overcompensating. I think if Draymond could remove himself and look at this in a vacuum, he'd say, yeah, hey, I probably deserve a night off for going there.
And we've seen Draymond in this vacuum. Like, this is the most hilarious part about this. He's really acting like he wasn't texting KD right after they dropped OKC off in the playoffs. And now he's talking about loyalty, fam. What are you doing? Like, come on, man. Like, how do you think he got there? And now all of a sudden, well, you should be looking. Man, if you don't get out of here, like, and the question was completely valid, too, by the way. Like, there's 5 seconds left in regulation versus the Clippers. Draymond Green gets the rebound. The ball should go to KD. They have 5 seconds to traverse the court and to put up a shot. He ends up bumbling, stumbling, fumbling into the front court, and they go into the overtime and they lose it. It's a completely logical question, but you can't think that. It's funny because when I heard Draymond's response of, well, where are you going this free agency? That sounds like a typical, like, if you were to get into an argument with Draymond, he seemed like he's a no-holds-bar sort of guy. Like, he seems like, hey, I'm going to ask you about this very regular thing, and nuke option right there. Boom.
I mean, KD was a free agent after last year, too. None of this came up then. Obviously, the rumors are getting to Draymond. Maybe he could see the end of their dynasty.
Maybe, but I mean, it's been a hell of a dynasty, right? And they're about to go win their fourth title in 5 years here. Yeah, I mean, we sort of talk about this team in a way we don't talk about any other team, which is that we always wonder the only way this team can be stopped is if like, hey, Steph messes up his ankles or, right. like, you know,
has an abductor strain.
You know, Draymond throws somebody through a table and therefore, like, the team is just like, there's just a split that they can't come back from. Short of that, they sort of just, like, are cakewalking through the rest of the league right now.
What's interesting to me in the league pass layer is here, Brian Geisinger and Brennan Whitted. Is that last year the Warriors were not the number one seed in the West. The number one seed in the West was the Houston Rockets, who lost a couple of pieces off their defensive end, Luke Mbamute, Trevor Ariza. They went out and replaced all that defense with Carmelo Anthony, and nobody could see this working out poorly, and lo and behold, it has. I'm not trying to blame Carmelo, but it's pretty clear that they're going to move on from Carmelo now. So what is what's the market for Melo?
I guess there's got to be somebody that has, you know, it's like a team that has a veteran friend of him on the roster where they say when they have, you know, an available roster spot. I can't imagine a team that's seriously contending for a title and has a full roster of players like making a move so they can sign Carmelo to the veterans minimum. Like, he hasn't been very good this year.
Been terrible.
Been very bad. He has 5 assists in almost 300 minutes of basketball.
That many?
Not very good. Houston allowing over 111 points per 100 possessions with him on the court. Super awful. Net rating of -9. That's really, really bad. With Chris Paul and James Harden allowing over 114 points per 100 possessions, shooting just 31% off the catch. Only 29% on wide open threes this year. Like, what does this guy do that is actually, like, what's his one, like, seriously, what is his best skill now?
Melo?
Yeah, tell me, what is Carmelo's best skill?
Moving?
I guess.
He's good at that?
I guess.
He's got a lot of practice at it lately?
I guess. I'm paying taxes in the state of Georgia. I guess that's a good skill for his.
I mean, he can pack and unpack like nobody's business.
Because it's not shooting anymore, right? Like, I just read these numbers here that say he is a below-average spot-up player. His mid-range game, which, by the way, shooting under 36% on pull-up twos outside of 10 feet, like, what is his game? He doesn't help. He doesn't do anything. Like, he is not at all at fault for everything that's gone wrong in Houston this year. It was a bad fit to begin with. We shouldn't have thought anything other than this was going to happen.
I didn't understand it. But is he going to land anywhere, Brennan?
You know, he's it's gonna, really, he, really hard.
They're gonna
I mean,
move
he's
on.
Going to land somewhere. Yeah, he's. Yeah. I have a hard time believing. It's
Knicks.
Funny because
back to the Knicks.
Well, no, somebody tweeted this. Like, the Knicks should pick him up. They should start him. They end up going to the tank. They get Zion Williamson, and that's how Carmelo ends his career as a Knick legend because he helped them get Zion. that is the best version of this. But all right, I'm gonna hop up on this soapbox just for a real quick second because like I'm seeing people like really delight in Melo's downfall in a way that like I enjoy the jokes by all means, get the jokes off. That's 100% for me. But like there's this weird thing of him not being as good as he could be or like somehow he squandered a lot of talent. Like this is a guy that's, you know, 14 years was a 20 plus per game scorer, 12 time All-Star.
Yeah.
Obviously his Olympic accolades. And like for whatever reason there is this thing of him not playing as well as he could have. And honestly, I think the two major ills of his career have nothing to do with him. Like one is the fact that he's not LeBron. Like people bring up his inability.
No, that's true.
Like he's not a great passer or he's not. No, he's not a great passer. You know who is a great scorer and a great passer? LeBron James, one of the greatest players I've ever seen all time. Congratulations. And then the other one is the fact that he didn't get drafted by Detroit. Like if he gets taken in that 03 draft by Detroit, like he should have by Dumars, he has at least one ring, right? And probably multiple. And then we're talking, the conversation around him is, he's a winner. Right. Like that changes the entire conversation surrounding him. And I just think it's just really weird that like his comp is somehow he's a below average, you know, some below average superstar that we've overhyped as opposed to what he is, which is like essentially Dirk Nowitzki just without all the franchise stability. I mean, I just think it's weird.
He's going in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no doubt. Anyone who says otherwise is out of their minds. I am a little surprised Brennan listed off all those career accomplishments for Carmelo, of which are amazing. He didn't even reference him wearing a robe at the bodega that one time. He was playing for the Knicks. I mean, how can you go through this man's accolades without going there? But, yeah, like, no, I mean, Brennan brings up a good point. Like, the specter of LeBron has hung over his whole career.
Right.
LeBron's the greatest player. You know, maybe Carmelo wins a few championships if LeBron isn't sort of just lording over the league the last 20 years. And also, you know, I mean, I know LeBron's maybe backslid a little bit this year, but he was maybe the best player in the league last year. He played all 82 games in year 15. And so I think sometimes we just assume that that's normal now.
No.
Right.
And it's like, no, these guys get old and then they regress. Like, everyone's like likes to crack jokes on D-Wade and Carmelo now. And it's like, they're in year 16. Like, what do you expect? And they played in the playoffs. And they've basically played extra seasons.
And how about
the
way Wade or Paul play, which is just unkind to their own bodies?
Right, exactly.
You could argue that Carmelo's played a much more kind to his own body game.
Yeah.
But those other guys clearly have not. By the way, nor does Jimmy Butler. I got 1 minute. 1 minute from each of you before we have to say goodbye.
Jeff Pizdelic's going to save the Rockets, by the way.
Of course he is. The defensive coordinator is back. And if you throw out 4 of his 5 coaching stops.
Right, he's
and
been great.
He's been, like just use Air Force.
Right.
He's 51 and like 16 for his coaching career.
Great record. Jim Grobe, I nominate him. He saves everything.
Context is important.
That is absolutely true. Speaking of context, what do you make of a suddenly 3-game winning streak Lakers team? What do we make of this?
I mean, just the Tyson Chandler pickup was amazing for them. Before he got picked up, they were allowing 120 points a game. In this 3-game span since they picked him up, it's 101. Like, he has been so crucial for the defensive stuff they wanted to do. Just the personnel that they wanted to trot out there and still have some sort of like some mediocre, even a mediocre defense was just preposterous. Like, Bron and Kuzma as your 4 and 5, you're going to give up a ton of buckets.
Right.
At least Tyson gives them some sort of stability for that second unit. I think now with that acquisition, they made the playoffs. Before, I was pretty much in the no camp. Now I think they'll sneak in as an 8th or 7th.
Yeah, 538 has them at 46 wins, which is sort of around, I thought, mid-40s for them before the season started. Yeah, with Tyson Chandler on the court, they're allowing under 90 points per 100 possessions in the 68 minutes. He's been there now. They've played some not-so-great teams. The schedule leveled out a little bit, which has helped them. But, like, yes, Tyson Chandler has come in, and he has helped the defense. But sort of going back to what we were just talking about, this is also year 18 for Tyson Chandler. So we should maybe slow up on, like, savior status for him. Although, yes, the defense was very bad, and that has improved. The only thing with this team is they don't really take threes. They're 20th or 21st in three-point attempt rate. Brandon Ingram's taking under 2 threes per game. He's taking them at a slower rate than he was last season.
He's trying to be Ben Simmons?
He loves these little, like, mid-post fadeaways.
Yeah, he loves the mid-range.
They clear out a side for him, but, like, he doesn't make enough of them. He's a super awesome player, and he's going to be really good. I'm still, like, high on Brandon Ingram, but this is not – this year, I think it's been an adjustment for him playing with LeBron.
All right, the League Pass Lair, as always, gentlemen – fantastic. The Analytical One, Brian Geisinger, at @BGeis_Bird. The Analytical One himself, Brendan Whitted, at WBHU alum. Brendan, you got a Aggie Eagle classic pick?
Oh, I'm pretty. And my dad went to the A&T. My mom used to work at Central. That was the first actual college football game that I went to growing up.
That's cool.
Is the Aggie Eagle Classic? But I'll take A&T because just they've been dominating the MEAC for a while. I'll go with them.
They absolutely have. All right, guys, we'll talk to you again.
Yes, sir.